This conversation is between myself, Stuart Webb, whistleblower, Alexander Martin, Lieutenant Commander, former Office of Naval Intelligence, the Iran-Contra whistleblower that has www.almartinraw.com, and Henry Solano, who is the U.S. attorney who took over for the criminal Mike Norton. And this conversation was on June the 9th of 1995 regarding my grand jury filing, 95Y107, against the Bush Crime Syndicate, my former father-in-law, Leonard Millman. And this was after the request by Judge Richard Mache in a second conversation I had where he suggested that I try to work with Henry Solano and Joe Johnson of the FBI, the new U.S. attorney. This is the conversation with him then. I might add that in September of following these conversations, I was anthrax with a biochemical agent, arrested illegally, put in a jail cell on anthrax. Dal Martin was illegally arrested and held for 45 days, could not be found. They had him under a fictitious name. These are the recordings of those conversations, informing the U.S. attorney regarding my grand jury filing to appear before the grand jury.
First name, William Richard Scruggs, the infamous. Hey, Henry, well, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You're a U.S. attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a man who is the National Security Advisor to the Attorney General, a former Assistant United States Attorney under Leon Kellner, Miami. Before that, he was a CIA Assistant Counsel. But here's a man who is in a current capacity with the administration, sub-cabinet appointee, as a matter of fact. And yet he has a outstanding extradition warrant for him on a felonious charge from a sovereign power. Why isn't he being extradited?
You know, I don't pretend to know any of the international...
I used to query Betsy Wright about that. She used to tell me to keep my mouth shut, but anyway.
I mean, you're dealing with... I mean, what I know is straight up federal laws within the continental U.S., at least those things that we have responsibilities. I don't pretend to know the relationships with international law and extradition and treaties.
Yes,
so I wouldn't be in a position to even hazard a
Henry, I understand where you're coming from. You come from a legal perspective, and I come from a political one.
Mm-hmm.
But we are talking about circumstances where the two are in extremely intertwined.
Sure. Any other names out of DOJ that I should be alerted to?
Henry. I would say the only three that would ring a bell to me right away would be either Margolis, Scruggs, or Hogan.
And Hogan is, what's the name, full name on that?
Christopher Hogan. Associate Attorney General, Christopher Hogan.
What's he the associate of? I'm not familiar with that.
No, I don't know. I've forgotten now.
Okay.
He's one of the people that Reno brought with him.
Okay.
Now, Reno herself's a problem, too.
No, that's all right.
Okay.
I mean, Janet Reno has problems of her own.
Yeah. Okay, so Chris Hogan, and he's an associate at some level. All right.
Yeah, I've honestly forgotten.
See, again, gentlemen, well, I'm familiar with Margolis. It's more that I'm familiar with Margolis because of his current position. You may find a lot of U.S. attorneys who generally are aware of the Department of Justice and some people within the Department of Justice, but we don't usually worry about them. We just take care of business at home.
Okay, I got a question for you. David Mann, is he still up at the Justice Department of Washington? There's another name.
David Mann?
Yes, stay away from him. He was Norton's boss. He was taking bribes. I've got a guy on that.
David Mann?
Yeah.
M-A-N-N.
Okay. Henry, do you know Margolis?
I only know him by virtue of the fact that in some meetings he's been introduced and then has come in.
Because he and I are bitter enemies. I mean, he is a dangerous fellow. There's a whole channel of communication that existed during the Reagan-Bush years in the Department of Justice, which is essentially no different today.
Right. What you're talking about, it sounds like, with the exception of Hogan, many, I don't know, Scruggs, but there are a lot of what we call career folk.
Well, I would call
I
would call them Reagan Bush right wing holdovers.
Okay, but I mean, however they got into civil service positions, and they tend to stay,
yep,
regardless of administration.
Yep.
Is the term that I'm using, and there, you know, there are, I would presume, a lot of very good individuals. Just because someone is a career person in any organization doesn't taint them. I'm not, you know, casting aspersions that way.
I wouldn't cast aspersions with them either. I mean, in those years, you know, 1985, 86, there was a covert directive from the White House to break the law in order to fulfill a covert illegal objective of state. And consequently, the machinery of the administration is in charge of doing so. And then, of course, the problem comes in covering it up later on when it becomes publicly exposed. It does not mean to impugn these people. Margolis is exceptionally good at what he did. I mean, I know him exceptionally well. I did it one time, and he was very, very good at what he did. I'm just saying I would, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to cross paths with him again.
Okay. Other names that I should be concerned about?
That's all I can think of that are still there.
Okay.
All the others, George, it's funny, I just spoke to George Terwilliger yesterday morning, but of course he's not there anymore.
Yeah, I remember the name from somewhere.
Deputy Attorney General George Terwilliger?
Yep, that's where I remember the name. Yep.
I know, he just threatened me yesterday morning. He and Elliot Abrams and Donald Gregg threatened me regularly, but...
Mr. Martin, any other information you want to share with me?
No, off the top of my head, Henry. I'm sorry, and it is off the top of my head. I wasn't prepared for this conversation because, frankly, I had no idea what we were going to be talking about.
Okay. I've taken notes. I believe they're legible. That's the problem I have, just in terms of my own handwriting.
Henry,
I've got four names and phone numbers. Okay, Stu?
Henry, if I may, can I get... because I've tried to get in there once before because I carry a press pass, but I can't get in. Would you call over the Federal Detention Center over there, or the FCI, and give me permission to go in to see Robert Joseph? There are other names within your department that Robert is familiar with that I would like to have a discussion with him.
Why would it not be appropriate for me to have a discussion or someone in the...
Because I don't know whether you're going to get the information directly out of him or not. Could I have an hour's worth of time over there with him?
I'm not inclined to do that. And again, what I have to do is deal with an investigation.
Okay, you had said pick a subject. I need to talk to Robert Joseph.
I said pick a subject that you want me to investigate. Here's the bottom line of my responsibility, and that is I have the responsibility to conduct an investigation through sources that are under my direction. And, you know, we can take information from people outside, but... I can't give that authority and responsibility up to anyone. You know, and that's just...
Henry.
Stu, quiet for a
minute. Okay.
Henry, I'm going to sign out of this conversation.
Okay.
The last thing I wanted to mention is that since you don't know, really know, have any idea who I am, when you talk to Alexander, you ask him about me.
Mm-hmm.
It might make you feel a little more comfortable or at least get a better handle on
it. I had intended on trying to get some information.
Alexander knows me very well. See, the thing is, you could go... I mean, you could obviously ask Margolis, or you could ask Scruggs.
No.
But, I mean, you understand I'm adversarial to them.
Right. No, I understand. All right, and that's helpful.
Alexander, I have helped him since the time of his committee investigation in 1989. And I've developed a personal relationship with him, and he knows an awfully lot about me. And obviously you've got to feel comfortable pursuant to any information I give you. And I would believe that in so far as you need to feel comfortable, you got to know something about me.
Right.
From what I would consider a more unbiased source. Okay. And an unbiased source with me has got to be somebody in the Democratic Party.
Okay.
Lord knows if I tried to help him.
Okay. Well, Mr. Martin, thank you very much. I do now understand that if there is a desire to get a hold of you, it would be through your attorney. And it's
yes,
Neil Lewis.
Well,
Neil Lewis?
Yeah, you don't have to ask for him. You just ask for Maria or Charlotte or anybody. There's about five girls that answer the phone. Just leave a message for me.
Well, but see, when I called, and I called twice, I said I was calling for Mr. Mark.
That's the problem.
Okay, and that's why I said, so if it's not Mr. Lewis that I've asked to speak to, what are some of the names in terms of leaving a message?
Either Maria or Charlotte.
Maria or Charlotte.
Those are the two girls I deal with the most often. I've known them ever since I've known Neil Lewis.
Okay. Neil Lewis's office, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry for the melodramatics, but...
No, listen.
And I'm not exactly in hiding, but I do tend to lie rather low, given what's happened to me.
Right, no, I understand. And I make no value judgment on that. I just, I was given the number, I called back, and I was puzzled that I couldn't get through, but you've answered why, and that's fine. I just need to know that that's a number I can get a message to you, or someone on my behalf can get a message to me. All right?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. So you're going to sign off, Stu? Did you want
to... Yeah, the basic thing, I need to talk to Robert Joseph, and already we're having, it seems, a problem with this. Joseph is also one of my key witnesses. He was money laundering. He also knows about certain government officials who took bribes, and that's the reason I want to talk to him. Now, Robert has agreed to testify before a federal grand jury if the day ever could come, if he were to be given immunity from prosecution on certain things. But Joseph also knows and has in his head a list of all who has been in on the take in the Justice Department, in the FBI, in the IRS, etc. Because in many cases, he laundered the bribes. And he's not going to come and talk to you directly until after he sees me.
Well,
and I know that.
Well,
so therefore, we want to make the determination, Henry, who the guy is clean and who isn't in your department if you're going to assign somebody to him.
But what you need to do, because anyone can write a letter to him,
come on, Henry, stop the bullshit. I spent 10 months out there, okay? I mean, realistically, I know what goes on. I open the mail and all that crap. He's not going to communicate in the mail. Let me have 1 hour with him.
Does he talk to you by phone?
No, he doesn't. Henry, I don't think you understand. Leonard Millman's got $10 million for my head right now. They're trying to kill me. They've already made 3 attempts. They locked me up for 10.5 months, sent me to Springfield. Mates declared me competent after the shrinks testified. They've played every game in the world they can. I've been through the package B to the max, and they've tried package C, which is shoot the son of a bitch, run over him, make an accident look like it happened.
To find a way to have Robert Joseph talk to me.
Will you meet me over there and set an appointment?
Pardon?
You and I go over and talk to him. Set an appointment, I'll meet you over there. He will talk to you after I communicate with him. I was incarcerated with Joseph for almost 3 months. I know what Joseph did. I also have records on Joseph, on all the M&L shit, on everybody's bribes, which I got from Joseph's buddy when I got out of jail.
Well, I'm going to have to think about that, but I am not very comfortable with it, too.
Well, I understand, Henry, but look, we're going to have to get along and work together, and you're not going to be able to obstruct justice.
What?
So just, between you and I, let's just put that out of our head.
I'm not obstructing justice, but I have a responsibility, and I cannot, the law, and I'm aware of this law, is very precise about agents who do things on my behalf, either explicitly or implicitly. And right now, you are not an agent of mine.
I'm not an agent of yours, and that's the reason I've asked to go in to see Robert Joseph.
No. But you don't understand. If you do something at my direction or with my authority, you become an agent of mine.
Okay, can we do this, Henry? Okay, let's...
I walk a very fine, and very, not a fine, a very bright line on those issues.
Okay, Henry, then let's do this. Since I have a press pass of a local newspaper called El Reporter in my pocket, and I also carry a Spotlight newspaper press, which both of them have printed many articles for me, how about I make the request as news organization to get in to see Robert, and they're going to reject me. You say it's okay. I know that the U.S. Attorney's Office will give permission. They sure did to Westward when they had me over there so they could frame me up in Westward.
The U.S. Attorney's Office gave permission to the Bureau of Prisons?
It gave permission to let Westward in to see me, yeah.
I'm not aware that we've ever been involved, but I mean...
That was before your time. But I know the press is allowed to see inmates. I've already made a request over a year ago to go back in to see Joseph. If I'm going to make the request to BOP, if BOP refuses me, I'm going to call Mache up and have Mache draw up the order to have Mache say, Stu Webb can go over and see.
Mache is out of decision.
Let's get off on the right foot. I'm going to make the request today as news to see Robert Joseph. If they have a problem, I'm going to tell them to call the United States Attorney's Office.
Well, I'm going to have to do some research on the whole agency.
Okay, because I'm not going in your behalf. I'm going in on my own behalf as a reporter to talk to Joseph. And then after I get through, I'll call you up and we'll have a chat on how far we're going to go regarding him and which particular agents you've got problems with. Because there are other people within your department. Your department was intentionally infiltrated during the 80s. All those leftover pieces of garbage you have in there are Bush people who have covered up many drug cases, many of the SNL fraud, and many other things. And they were intentionally put there because why? They had the CIA company, MDC Holdings, in this jurisdiction. And they needed to make sure that they kept things covered up.
Well, let's see what happens, but again, I'm going to do that research.
Okay.
Do what you feel.
I'll go ahead and make my request. I'll do it today.
Let me go out from my office.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna make the request as a investigative journalist. And I'm going to, because I have written several articles, and I'm going to say, if you have any problem with this, just call the United States Attorney's Office, Henry Solano. That's what I'm going to make the request as. I'm not going as your agent. But I will get back with you, and will tell you the additional people who are involved in the Justice Department and the IRS, because Joseph laundered the bribes. And I didn't get them all. All I got was the judges and a few other people.
Joseph is now at FCI?
Yes.
Alright. Thanks for that information.
Okay, and I'll talk to you today's Friday. I'll call you on Monday or Tuesday if I have a problem.
Alright.
Okay, thank you.
This is March of 2012. These conversations you're listening to, I'm going to continue with the U.S. attorney that we approached at the orders of Judge Richard Mache because of my grand jury filing in 1995. But in these recordings, I had mentioned Robert Joseph, M&L Business Machines. In 1997, he went before a federal grand jury in secret. The U.S. attorney brought indictments. There was a secret Justice Department settlement where Leonard Millman, my former father-in-law, paid an $80 million fine, never went to jail. They covered the whole thing up. Mayor Frederico Pena, former mayor of Denver, Colorado, was then the Department of Energy's secretary, who resigned suddenly, claiming that it was for personal reasons. A reporter was in the audience when he made the announcement. Asked him if it was true that he was under indictment, of a reporter with the Rocky Mountain News, and he singled that reporter out, asking him who he was and his name, because of his bribes over the Denver airport that Phil Wynn had paid him, who's on the board of directors of MDC Holdings, was convicted on the HUD scandal, never went to jail under a sealed case that Judge Sherman Feinsilver of Denver covered up, and then later Bill Clinton gave him a presidential pardon 2 days before Clinton left office. Larry Mizell paid several million dollars in fines. Norman Brownstein paid several million dollars in fines, and several other people involved in the Denver narcotics and money laundering, what's infamously known as the Denver Connection. I'll be playing this additional recordings. This is for the edification of those that are listening to these recordings. I might also add that I ended up, obstruction of justice occurred in this whole thing. They tried to kill me. They tried to get Al Martin. They locked him up. They anthraxed me over it. Nearly killed me in September. This was all done in May and June of that year. The filing was done on April the 1st, 1995. Case number 95Y107, that's on stuweb.com.
Yes,
Robert Joseph.
Okay.
Robert Joseph, extension 600 is what
I
need.
Office, this is Debbie.